listening to Osmoscope, the podcast that lets you dive into the marvelous world of olfaction. In this episode, we talk to Clara Ravad, olfactory artist and experimental filmmaker based in Berlin, originally from Barcelona. If you'd like to learn how an early fascination with macerating plants led Clara to distilling stranded goods from the canals of Amsterdam, why her free mind has helped her creating Out of the Blue, a personal fragrance she designed for young denim label Hardeman, and how scent can help us to show more empathy towards one another, stay tuned. So Clara, what got you fascinated with the world of smell in the first place?
I'm not sure what got me started, but it's a passion that comes since I'm a kid. So when I would be a little kid, like about, I don't know, 5 or 6, I was obsessed with extracting scents from plants. I would collect mint and other herbs and try to macerate them. So I would always ask to my mom, how can I make a perfume out of mint? And then we would just put it on a glass jar with alcohol and then let it sink for some days. And after that, I would always get games that were related to scent. I am not sure if my parents wanted to motivate me to explore other senses or it was something I wanted to do. I remember I got like a perfumer making kit, where you had like few fragrance oils, also a base oil and some instructions on how to mix them. I also got like this memory game where you had to smell some capsules and then go through a big amount of cards and try to select the card that was matching the smell. So old books or chimney smell or bubble gum. And then I started to say I wanted to be a perfumer. And I asked my mom, what do I need to do to be a perfumer? And she said, oh, you have to study chemistry. And I went to high school and chemistry was really hard. I really disliked it. I think also then this relates on later on my path of teaching people, because I don't think I hated chemistry itself. I just thought that the way teachers were exposing chemistry to students was very difficult and it didn't need to be that difficult.
It sounds like it, because when you started getting interested in fragrance and started right away with doing alcoholic extraction of a scent, for example, this is also pure chemistry.
Yeah, and actually I just remember I also had a chemistry game where I had like a huge collection, like 20 or more ingredients of the periodic table and a videotape that I would play and just follow some nerdy guy on the TV doing mixing stuff. Yeah, so I think it's a pity actually that some people are not really passionate about passing on knowledge and eventually you ended up not liking something because how it is exposed to you.
So you graduated from the Royal Academy of Arts in The Hague, or eventually you studied art science. But if I'm not mistaken, you also took different paths to the topic of fragrance beforehand. So you started with studying trend research and medicine and psychology. So there's really various paths you have traveled before actually turning to art itself.
When I finished high school, I went to the med school and I was there for a few years. It was too much for me to be sitting on a library every day more than 6 hours. So at some point I quitted medicine. And then I did a 1 year postgraduate in trend research. And we traveled a lot with my colleagues and the class together. It was so much fun that then I decided that I should actually go and study abroad and get out of my comfort zone. So I thought, yeah, maybe I should study art. So I found this department in The Hague called Art Science. And then I thought it's a perfect mix between my passion for science and also for art.
What was your encounter during your studies? Did you get in touch with scent at all?
I was very lucky to meet Maki Weda and Caro Berbeck during my studies. Maki was teaching a course every 2 years about how to produce games with scent. And on my second year, I followed a class with Caro Berbeck called The Other Senses. And in this class, Caro basically exposes her students with a lot of olfactory art and tactile related art. Thanks to Caro, I kind of reconnected to to my old passion, and I thought, oh, maybe I actually don't need to study chemistry or be really a technical perfumer, but I can just experiment by myself. That was kind of my throwback to what I wanted to do and find my path back. And maybe I forgot to say that about psychology. So in my second year at in The Hague, I had so much time that I decided to enroll to distant studies of psychology at the University, Open University of Catalonia. I'm currently on my last year of the bachelor's. Yeah, the idea is to finish also the bachelor.
That's quite impressive, I think, where your curiosity is taking you scent-wise, and also in, let's say, how many disciplines are actually involved in working with and understanding scent. Speaking of experience with scent, you also have done many, many collaborations with other artists and various projects, one of them being one in Eindhoven in the Netherlands, the Cosmic Travel Kit.
Yeah. So the Cosmic Travel Kit is a commission by the Baltan Laboratories in Eindhoven. And it's a collaboration between sound artist Angela de Weifmer and hacker Peter Berghaus and myself. Baltan put the three of us together and they gave us, let's say, a brief. They wanted us to work on a wearable that would narrate the story of the area of the Stripe S on during Philips time, because the area used to have the first Philips fabrics and the creative center, like the whole business was there. We started developing the first prototype. Right now we have the prototype finished, and this became helmet with a back which spreads sound and scent inside the helmet, and it's GPS controlled, meaning that depending on where you stand, you get different scent and sound compositions. And at this point, even though we took as an inspiration the area back in the days when Philips was active, it's not so much a research about sounds and scents from the past, but more like a cinematic experience that brings you somewhere else and makes you think also a bit of what was in each of the streets.
So this device, the prototype that you created, well, I've seen a video and some pictures, and really looks like a spacesuit. So not too subtle. It's quite obvious that something weird and really interesting must be going on inside. So what type of kind of sensor did you choose then, or develop for that experiment?
There is a formal industrial space that is now empty, and there is just some earth and some grass. And there, they used to be the sound recording studio where Dick Reichmachers and Einstein and other people used to hang out and produce music. So over there, I made a scent that starts very smoky and sweaty, like a old school man hanging out, drinking whiskey and smoking cigarettes, not showering for who knows how long. And then it becomes a bit fresher because I want people also to move to the next spot. So the scents in this walk are not only single spots in single locations, but they are also transitions, and they are also thought to make people move through these spots. It's a combination with the sound made by Angela. So for instance, we have a really interesting point where there is like a long street with really big metal tube construction above you. And for that part of the walk, the sound gets pretty interesting in terms of vibration. So I went all over the top with the scent there, and I chose ingredients like C10 and other metallic notes. They are on display for a very short time, like 2 or 3 seconds, and they keep on switching. So it goes tuned with the vibration of the sun, and that works pretty well, yeah, together.
Another project of yours was with MediaMatic in Amsterdam. While you were an artist in residence at MediaMatic, you offered scent walks in Amsterdam to a group of people to explore the city and find out about smells they liked or got interested in. Can you tell us about that?
MediaMatic proposed me for a grant called 3-package deal from the City Council of Amsterdam. Well, actually from the AFCA, which is Amsterdam Funds for Culture. I was really lucky to get it, and this meant I would move 1 year to Amsterdam, and I would collaborate with MediaMatic during that whole year. And one of our plans was to host scent-related workshops and build the beginning of the Aroma Lab, which was like a distillation unit. So we started hosting this Smell of Amsterdam workshop, which was introduction to the sense of smell and to scent extraction methods. And then we will go for a walk in the neighborhood of MediaMatic. And there were two exercises, one to collect things on spot, but participants were also asked to bring something that the smell would remind them on Amsterdam. And then it becomes very interesting to see what actually people who's born and raised in Amsterdam bring and what foreigners bring. For instance, non-Amsterdammer brought wheat. Because in theory, wheat is for tourists, so the whole Amsterdam, I mean, all the center smells like that. People brought chocolate, like cacao, because there used to be like a cacao maker somewhere, water from the canal, because the smell of the canal is so predominant that every person who is from Amsterdam is very conscious about it. Yeah, and then we would run like experimental distillation, but we would choose few of these things that represent Amsterdam and put it on the steam distiller and extract the scent and see what would happen. And then we will run a second distillation with the stuff we picked up during the smell walk.
So what did happen and what did you try to distill then? Because, I mean, with plants, I can imagine that this works out if you find a really nice plant or flower that you can distill. But what about other scents? Were there some surprising results?
I remember in one of the workshops, someone picked up mushrooms from a canal, from an area really close to a canal, a Thai book that was wet, some bike rubbers, and a piece of brick. And we put all of that together. And actually, the smell was pretty nice. Like, the most predominant smell was the mushroom smell. I personally like the scent of humidity in a mushroom. So, I mean, you get pretty interesting stuff. Some things are disappointing because you won't be able to extract the scent of a stone, or you would only get some moisty scent from the sand around it. But as a learning process, I think it's interesting for participants. Also then to prove that you actually need to also research a bit about what you're distilling and what's the exact scent or component you want from where you're extracting the scent of, and so on.
It's also maybe about how versatile the sources of scent and quality of scents is that surround you. Another project was your collaboration with Berlin Kit Kat Nightclub. What was that about?
There is a party hosted in the Kit Kat Club, which happens every 2 months. It's called Gegen. And Gegen is a queer party. Gegen is not only being against something, but also going towards something. So the organizers of the party describe the party as something that brings you to your own limits and allows you to explore your own limitations. It's a beautiful party. People are very respectful and free. So on one of the party editions, it was called Gegen Senses. When I saw the advertisement for the party, I thought I should contact them because I would be happy to see what happens if we do something with scent in such a setting. And they were very happy. I was totally free to do whatever I wanted. So I thought it would be nice to explore with something that could be used in this type of parties. So I set up an installation with bondage tapes, which are made of vinyl. There is like a nice swimming pool area in the club. So I just set up some of the tapes from the roof to the floor in groups of 3 or 4. And then I sprayed the scent over these tapes. So one of the scents was the Nose King number 1. That's the one that is more complex and more like a perfume. It has a rose base, but then it has a really sweaty and musky base notes like leather accord, vanilla, sandalwood, ambrofix, indole, cashmeran, and so on. The top is quite fresh but sweet with corpse orange. And the middle notes are still very like skinny, like C14, that smells a bit like peach. Raspberry Caton to make it a bit more metallic and extreme. Cephalis, Rosalba. So this scent was made thinking that in such a setting where people are very close to each other, you might want to smell something attractive, but still also a bit fresh. Then there were two other scents. I had a Nose King number two that was very flowery. It really smelled like violet flowers, but also pushed to the limits and quite extreme and intense smell. And then there were two other areas. One was only sprayed with Cibet, and the other one was only sprayed with Isoe Super. So it was all very animalistic, but still pretty pleasant and, let's say, wearable. So what happened is I set up the installation in the afternoon at 6. And then I went home. I had some friends from Spain visiting. We were getting ready for the party. So we got to the club at 2 a.m., which is still early. And what happened is that most of the installation was already ripped off. I hope some people use the bondage tapes for fun. Yeah, so it was a fun experiment. I mean, I'm very happy in the terms of the scent. Maybe if I would do it again, I would set up like a harder structure so that the scents can stay longer in the night.
Really interesting, because I was going to ask, so what were your observations and how did people react? Did they enjoy enhancing their experience by fragrance and by scent? But apparently they did. All of these collaborations, they're about art, but you also had a little trip into the world of fine fragrances when designing fragrance for the Dutch denim label Hardeman. So that was really a personal fragrance that you designed. And I think it was also basically where you were explicitly asked to design a label that would reflect the brand.
Yeah. So while my residency in Amsterdam, I lived in it's like an art hostel living space in the south in Bosnian-Lomer called Wow. I like to cook a lot, which means I would spend a lot of time in the kitchen. And the person living just in front of the kitchen was Sophie. And Sophie is really hard worker. She's always at her studio working, which means while she's working and I'm cooking, we get to hang out together. So this is how I met Sophie Hardeman. And yeah, after a while, Sophie suggested that we should have a collaboration together and that it would be super cool to make like a fragrance for her brand. It was perfect match because for me it would be like also the first, let's say, commercial fragrance to bottle. I have no restrictions whatsoever. And because I knew quite well her brand and her personality, I made three different versions and she chose the one of them. The idea was to produce something that resembles a popper bottle and a popper fragrance. Popper is a drug used from the 80s onwards on the queer dance scene, because basically it's something you sniff. It's like a liquid that you sniff and you get this high like for 1 minute and it helps you relax your muscles. So we wanted the fragrance to be similar, that when you get the first whiff is extremely strong, almost even a bit annoying, like really penetrating, and then it makes you feel warm and then it becomes sweet, almost as if you were high. So yeah, that's why the bottle looks like a bit like a leather or jean cleaner, as poppers are branded. Yeah, and regarding the scent, yeah, it's very intense. It starts a bit fresh, goes high up in your nostril. Yeah, it's a bit like indigo color, like sweet, but not too bubblegummy sweet. A bit like violets, I would say. It's a bit powdery. Then it becomes very leathery as well. There are some dark facets. You know when you smell like a fake leather sofa a bit, that sometimes it has like this very solid, opaque scent. Definitely, it's not a fragrance to wear every day, just in special occasions or parties. Yeah, Miguel Matos made a review for Fragantica, and he says he always gets compliments when he wears the scent.
You also initiated an event that is especially dedicated to collaborations. It's the Experimental Scent Summit, an international get-together for people working in the field of olfaction. Could you tell us about that? What made you think of such a get-together?
Yeah, so the Experimental Scent Summit is basically a collaboration with the Art and Olfaction Institute from Los Angeles, and it's tied to the awards, and that's why it's always happening where the awards are happening. When I learned that Saskia Wilson-Brown was bringing the Art and Olfaction Awards to Berlin, we thought that it might be really interesting, since there are so many people traveling from all over the world for the awards, to do an event where people can share like their latest projects or research and network. I would say the first year, a big amount of our audience were award related. And slowly over these last 3 years, I think the audience went more towards a real experimental capacity, where there is also younger people presenting new things they are doing.
I thought it was quite outstanding that you initiated this event, because at the heart, people dealing with scent, they naturally come from various disciplines and subjects, you know, and it's always hard to just speak about one facet of fragrance. You automatically touch upon other fields of research and work, and this is why it's so important to keep everyone updated. It's not so easy to do that in a very formal way. This is why really talking about it and giving others the opportunity to speak about their project, personally, I think is so very helpful.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, I think, very helpful for everyone to be able to speak up and share what you've been up to, especially when we are not living in same cities or not even countries. It's also, I think, important because, as you said, there are people from so many different fields or working with scent from different perspectives. That in such a day you become very conscious that what you do is not the only way that things can be done. And Saskia might not agree with this, but for me, because I'm an artist, it's also quite peculiar to share that day with maybe people that are more technically trained, so niche perfumers, and see how even we all work with scent. The use we do of scent is very different, and the way we think about it is also different. So in a way, you are melting two realities, or more than two realities, together, and that makes collaborations way easier.
Where do you then get your inspiration from, and also how did you learn how to create fragrances?
I would say I belong to the do-it-yourself and teach-yourself generation. So when I started working with scent, the first thing I did is go to YouTube and see how can I do my own distiller. Like, I'm a student, I don't have money, I want to do this, how do I do it? And then you figure out that you can slowly learn everything by yourself. It just might take a bit longer, but also there is a lot of beauty in the autodidactic learning process, because you stumble upon mistakes and trials that bring you somewhere else. And if you're not looking for perfection, yeah, you can do pretty much everything and do lots of new things. And I would say this is maybe why Out of the Blue is such a special perfume, because no one taught me which materials blend together in a very pleasant way, or in a way that most of us enjoy. And thanks to not having that knowledge taught, let's say I'm a tabula rasa, like my head is free and I'm not scared of combining things that might not be the best combinations apparently, but they might find a good match at the end.
So, but you also have taken over to teaching yourself, both at the university and also in your smell lab. So can you tell us about Smell Lab and what this is about and what it aims at?
So Smell Lab was funded in 2015. It started like a community project where we would meet once a month with random people, like anyone who would have interest to join. So I would curate the evenings with either experiments or presentations from other people. And then after a while, I saw there was a big interest on learning more about how to actually work with scent. So it started switching towards education. And right now, the Smell Lab is a studio located also in Prince Lauerberg. And it's a combination between education. So I have right now a small program of workshops that I hope to increase. But there are also other projects like Sensing the Perfumer, where I organize visits to perfume labs, like small perfume labs, to see how the perfumers work and how different they think. I hosted some meetups where people who work with scent in different capacities would also present their work. And now the new step is to really establish a constant program for the open labs so that people can come and use the scent organ and work on their own projects. And this brought me to teach at the art school where I studied in The Hague. So I found myself navigating through teaching art in general, even if it was scent-based. The course was about tackling social issues through scent and not using scent as something that goes with the concept, but it really tackles the concept so that it is really the material that speaks for itself. And also, I taught at the Halle Design University. I taught one introduction week to the industrial design students, and this was really technical. I taught them how to smell, how to think about scent, how to describe it. And then we did a bunch of exercises on brief and like briefing. I would give them a brief that they have to accomplish in one day. So this was more like client and designer communication.
So what would you recommend anyone who'd like to learn more, get involved in working with fragrances? What should they do or what can they do to get started?
Obviously, come to the Smell Lab, follow one of the introduction workshops, and that actually gives you a really good base to later practice on your own, just like a small structure to see how to approach each ingredient. There are a few forums now online. So I think it's a lot about trying and asking to other people, reading. And I think also the advantage of the open Smell Lab, even though you want to buy your own ingredients to work at home, this allows you to come and try out ingredients that you maybe want to see how they work before purchasing yourself, or really important to be in a same space with other people. Then you can share information and smell what the other person is doing. I think like that you learn a lot. And also coming up now in the Smell Lab is our new meetup called Indie Perfumer Meetup. And the idea of this meetup is to bring what you're working on, let others smell it and get constructive feedback.
So is there any scent that you're aware of that you consider underrated, or any scent that people should discover or pay more attention to?
I think we should pay more attention to body scents in relation to health. When you go through, for example, a stressy situation, your sweat odor changes, and the same with any other person. So I think scent can work as an alarm on our body. It's like it gives so much information about our health. So eventually you could also develop your empathy further, and you can learn to distinguish different smells on different people, and you might be able to have a small idea of what they are going through. Yeah, you can try find ways to help or be empathic.
That brings me to the next question. What does scent bring to society, or what can scent do for society? What is its role?
Yeah, so besides being strong communicator from coming from our bodies or from nature or different things. I think it's a very strong connector between people. Not sure why. This is something I would really like to make a bit of research about. Maybe it's because it's so intangible to our eyes or something we cannot touch that makes people wonder and talk about it. It might be that we want to compare our thoughts with other people, right? Like, you always want to check, am I right? Or am I guessing this in the proper direction? And then coming from this nature, you want to ask other people what they think. So it could be actually used sharper in this direction to make people connect and talk and get our heads out of screens and Facebook and Instagram.
Thank you so much for coming up and talking to us.
Thank you, Vera, so much.
Thank you for listening to Osmoscope today and for joining our conversation with Clara Rawat. You can learn more about Clara and her work on clararawat.com. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to Osmoscope and spread the news.